This podcast is for the brave hearts, the black sheep, the rebels. If you're willing to face your fears and optimize your time on this planet, you are among friends. This is the Erin Evans Podcast. Hello and welcome back. Growing up, I had a really hard time at school. I was distracting. I was a disturbance. I was a social butterfly. I could not sit still. I got sent to the principal's office all the time. One time I was duct taped to my desk. I dreaded parent-teacher interviews because I knew my parents were going to find out how bad I was. And it wasn't because I was craving attention so much as I felt like a border collie in a world full of basset hounds. I had so much energy and I didn't know how to channel it. Fast forward into high school when I started to play high-level sports. It made school a little bit easier because I had an outlet for my intensity, but I still didn't really know how to focus on material, educational content that I did not find riveting. I could only really pay attention when I thought the teacher was attractive or the subject was interesting. Then I found yoga. And yoga, the intention of it is to access samadhi, flow state, total enrapture with, absorption in a moment. It is the practice of being present. Finally, I discovered a way to train my attention. What started out as the quest for a handstand or a half lotus turned into the ability to write a book. That's a very big deal for someone who could barely concentrate for 15 minutes. I promise this isn't a podcast where I humble brag the whole time. I just think my personal experience is a great example of how you can train your attention, how you can teach yourself to direct your energy and your life. I'm talking about flow state. It is moments of rapt attention and focus where our sense of self disappears. Time dilates, it passes strangely, might freeze or go quickly. And this is something that happens universally to everyone. If we put ourselves in the right place, in the right time, in the right mindset. It's often referred to as the optimal neurochemical cocktail, where we are in a state of the utmost pleasure. So there's three levels of happiness. We've got the hedonistic pleasure, where I want it now. YOLO, FOMO, I need it now, that booze, that sex, that chocolate, you know, the easy low-hanging fruit. The second is we get engaged or we are enjoying a moment that we're in. So we've got a high flow lifestyle. Maybe we work with our hands. We maybe are skiers or climbers or runners, but we've got outlets that allow us to access that neurochemical cocktail. And then the highest level is where we have a purpose-driven life, where we take the thing that creates the most amount of flow. We couple it with purpose and we're able to reach states higher and above our little personality. So there are some features of flow, and that is timelessness, effortlessness, intrinsic motivation, concentration, selflessness, and the perfect challenge between skill and balance. I was recently at a DJ show, and what was wild was the state of flow that was created first by the DJs on stage, as well as those of us enjoying it. The same is true for a comedy show, an athletic event. When we have shared goals in our friend groups or with our professional lives, there's a state of flow. When we have a person that we deeply connect to and we're communicating by listening deeply, that too is a state of flow. So this is a skill that we can start to focus on and develop more and more. I'd say start primarily in the places that you really love. So for me, it's yoga, it's athletics, it's coaching. I'm easily dropping into these states where my personality is gone. Stephen Kotler is the gentleman that runs the Flow Research Lab, and they've studied it. And they believe, and I believe, that flow is how humans have been shaped by evolution to perform at their best. So they're fighting for resources and the necessity, life depending on getting that food or joining the other tribe. So it has to be linked to a sense of purpose. In the case of days past, it would be related to life or death. Nowadays, we're not really in situations that feel life or death. That's why lots of people like adrenaline junkie sports, because it's that teetering edge of I could die. And not that we're going to fake it, but a purpose is the reason for which something is done. It's a personal sense of resolve, or we are attached to the cause. When there is purpose and curiosity, a strong desire to know or to learn, you will by nature start to access higher states of engagement. Another piece to consider is grit. There has to be challenge involved for you to be all systems go in the game. Grit is when we confront our fear, we are motivated to tackle challenges. Instead of running away, we're running towards something that doesn't feel that great. What I find so interesting about flow state, because it relates so beautifully to the systems of yoga, and I don't know if you know this, but I wrote a book about the Yoga Sutras, and he talks a lot about flow state. But in the Yoga Sutras, there are four backdoor entries, don't be a pervert, to accessing flow state. And I do this in my yoga practice, but you could do this when you're skiing, when you're making love, but you're thinking about the laundry. So this is a way to get yourself really into the moment. So the first is to have a sense of argument. Notice what is up, what is down, what is hot, what is cold, what is right, what is left. So you are using the physical body and entering the moment by landing in your skin and having a sense of conjecture of what's going on physically. The next way is to be a watcher. That quality of the mind that just observes and listens, it is a connection to the temperature of your body, maybe the breeze on your skin, but observing like you're watching a great piece of art, aka you. The third way in is to scan the body for a sense of pleasure or bliss. It could be the feeling in your heart when you hug a loved one, maybe your big toe in triangle pose, maybe it's the seat below your bottom or the fact that your kidneys are working to flush your toxins. And then the last way, the last backdoor entry into flow state is a sense of I-ness. And I'm not talking about small I, poor me, I. I'm talking about the high self, the part of you that is uncontaminated, has not been touched by story or drama, but a part of you that is royalty. If you can start to feel into, live into that sense of I-ness. I believe that almost everything that we do in this material world, we can enter a flow state. But we have to practice in the places that feel fun. It is developing an attitude of prove it to me. Like you're using yourself and you're saying, prove it to me. I want to see if this works. You are training self-efficacy. The flow cycle is three stages. The first is the skill onboarding, which is the struggle bus. It takes a lot of energy. It will feel frustrating, but this means that we are on the right track when we start to feel a bit agitated. The second is that we release it. We let it go. We walk away. In fact, with writing, I would want to keep going, but I would quit before I hit that wall of not wanting to continue. So you completely relinquish it. And then lastly, flow takes a lot of energy. So this is the recoup and recovery needed, where we're not looking at our phones. We might lie down and sleep. We might have a cold glass of water. We might walk in nature. But it is very intense to train oneself to operate at a higher frequency like this. For so many of us, I think of the metaphor of skiing or snowboarding when we're on our heels, we're slipping, we're avoiding the aggressive stance we need to make it feel good. So lean forward. Find the places in life where you want to put your shins to your boots, so to speak. This is an attitude or mindset of learning. It's keeping the brain fresh and being okay in the discomfort of the suck. So this is a little piece from my book about the samadhi or flow state. From a young age, I was enraptured by movement. I recall watching a gymnast do a back handspring and thinking it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. I wanted to embody the fluidity that I saw. My motives were clean. I didn't want accolades or anyone's approval. I was genuinely pulled by the rhythm and ease I saw in her body. I spent hours in my basement on a cement floor trying to learn the trick. When I finally executed it without landing on my head, it was just as good as expected. Like any great discipline, the more you practice, the easier it looks and feels. My spark of interest in this action indicated that I had something worthy of my attention, something important enough to dive into without wanting anything in return. The final limb on the eight-limb path of yoga is samadhi. It translates as total absorption or engagement in the present moment. Absorption happens when you are captivated by what you're doing and you have access to a flow state. There are no ulterior motives but the task at hand. You are all in. Athletes call it being in the zone, musicians call it the pocket, and yogis call it flow. This timeless place is where the ego evaporates. To be fully engaged in a moment requires curiosity, persistence, and a challenge. It elevates one above their normal worries, fears, and neuroses. It's a place of spontaneity and potentiality. There are no attachments to results and no identity. This is our highest state. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Flow State 101. If you liked what you heard, be sure to rate and subscribe to this podcast. If you want to put it into action, find something that feels interesting enough for you to learn, and for no other reason than the grit and the access to that neurochemical cocktail. I love you.